I've been looking forward to this night, and I'm glad you're here. And some of you came because you sort of always come on Sunday evenings. Maybe you came because a friend invited you, and that's great. But some of you came tonight because you're worn out. You're at the point in your life where something has to give, where something needs to change, and you come here to find hope, looking for hope. Well, know that you're not alone. You're surrounded by people who need hope. We need God to lift us up, to refresh us. We need Him to give us hope, and that's why we gather regularly, because we're poor and needy. Tonight I'm going to read you three stories recorded for us in the Bible, the Word of God. And you may never have read the Word of God before or the Bible before, but that's okay. But the Bible is God's Word, and it's a message of hope. And the main character in the Bible is Jesus, the Son of God. It's about Him and how He changes everything for us. And in these stories, I'm going to read about three very different people who are struggling with three very different things. But the common theme here is that they're stuck in the circumstances of their life and they've run out of hope. But that's the point when Jesus enters their life and He changes everything. So listen to God's Word. I'm going to read snippets of these stories. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You could do that another time if you like, but I'm going to read snippets of these stories from Mark chapter 5. So listen as I read. This is God's Word, and it will fill you with joy. When Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met Him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he'd often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. So that's the first guy, tormented by evil spirits. The second is a woman. It says this, and when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the report about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. So she, the second person, is chronically ill. And then the third person, respected religious leader, says this. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is about to die. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she'll be made well." And he went with him. And as they went, there came from the ruler's house someone who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." That's where we'll end the reading of God's Word. May He open our eyes and our hearts to understand the hope and the freedom that comes in Jesus Christ. Many, many years ago, a man named John Bunyan wrote a book called The Pilgrim's Progress, and it's a story that's meant to symbolize our journey through life and the various trials that we face. And this story follows a man, his name is Christian, and his friend Hopeful. And on one occasion, Christian and Hopeful were traveling through life and they wandered off the path and they strayed into a land a land that was owned by a giant named Despair. And giant Despair found them. He captured them. He locked them in a dungeon with nothing to eat and drink, and he kept them there for days. Occasionally, giant Despair, he would come down and he would beat on them, but just to the point of not killing them. And one day he said to them, "You're never going to get out of here. I'm going to keep beating you, and eventually you're going to die here. You're never going to see the light of day again, and so you might as well kill yourselves." And as he left them a rope, a knife, and a vial of poison. And then he showed them the many bones of those who had died in his prison. And then he left them with one question. He said, "Why would you choose life if it's only filled with such misery and bitterness and pain? Why?" And so he locked the dungeon door. He left them in the darkness with that single question. Why would you choose life if it's only filled with such misery and pain? They were locked up in the dungeon of despair. Despair is that feeling when you are imprisoned by your circumstances. When you so desperately want your life to change in some way, and yet nothing seems to work. Well, in our passage, we find three people who have lost all hope, who are imprisoned in their circumstances. They tried everything to escape. They're so desperate. They so desperately want change, but nothing works. They pursue all the avenues, but yet there seems to be no way out of their circumstances. They were hopeless until they meet Jesus. And with one word, or one touch, he changes their lives forever. He sets them free from despair and he fills them with joy. Do you ever feel stuck in your life? Stuck in maybe the haunting of your own mind? Stuck in your circumstances? Stuck in destructive patterns, stuck in your shame, and you see no way out? Well, today I offer you hope, and I offer you hope in the person of Jesus. And very simply, Jesus came to change lives. He knows your circumstances far better than anyone, far better than you even. And he comes, he invites you to come to him, to fall down at his feet before him and to follow him. To come to Jesus and he will set you free. So in the course of this day in the life of Jesus, we're introduced to three people whose lives are the picture of hopelessness. Jesus and his disciples, this group of 12 men, they followed him throughout his life. And he and his disciples, they travel across a lake called the Sea of Galilee. And as soon as they get off the boat, they see a man off in the distance running toward them. And immediately it's clear that something is not right with this man. In the first few verses, we get to peer into, we peer through the window into this man's miserable existence. And I use the word existence very purposely because he had no life. Every word emphasizes this man's hopeless condition. In another place, we're told that this man was naked, running toward them naked. He was tormented. We're told that he was possessed by a legion of demons. He's not tormented by one or two or three or even 10 demons, but he's controlled by thousands of demons. And we're told that he's so out of control, so violent, so ferocious, he's driven out of the villages and he makes his home among the dead. He lives in the tombs. And night and day, he just roams the land, moaning and shrieking and yelling. This man is a prisoner in his own body. He's tormented. He's helpless. He's hopeless. Some years I read a book called Tortured for Christ by Richard Wurmbrand. He was a Christian minister who endured the torturous communist prisons in Romania for 14 years. As he held firmly to Jesus, he was tortured, regularly brought to the brink of death. One kick, one burn, one electric jolt away from death, and then thrown back into his cell to recover just to do it all over again. Just imagine the pain. And this went on for years, and it wore him down so much that he was just hoping, just praying, that one day his torturers would miscalculate and they would accidentally just kill him. He just wanted to die. So I imagine that's how this man felt, tortured, suffocated within his own body, no hope for change, just wanting to die. Well, one day Jesus steps ashore. As Jesus steps ashore, Legion is compelled to run to him. And he falls at Jesus' feet. And of course, these devils are not there to honor him or worship him, but these spiritual forces are on their knees because they know exactly who Jesus is. He's this powerful creator, far superior in power to all the demons or any power in all the earth. And Legion shrieked. He said, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" And he begged Jesus not to send him out of the region. Well, on the hillside, there was a herd of about 2,000 pigs, and the demons pleaded with Jesus, "Just send us into those pigs." And Jesus said, "Go." And with that one word, the demons immediately left the man, went into these pigs. The pigs then ran down the hill into the Sea of Galilee and drowned. It's this graphic picture of what would have happened to this man had Jesus not intervened. Pigs sloshing around to their death. Well, all of a sudden, after years of torment, living among the dead, just wanting to die, this man was now fully clothed. He was in his right mind. He'd given all hope. And yet with one word, Jesus healed him and set him free. But not only did Jesus set him free, but he actually gave this man purpose. The purpose to serve God. Jesus told him, "Now go home to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you." God set him free and gave him a purpose. You know, here's a man who had every reason to be ashamed. He was naked, filthy, out of his mind. He might have been ashamed to come to Jesus because he was such a mess. But he comes to Jesus and Jesus looks on him with gentleness and compassion. Now, you may not be possessed by a legion of demons, but perhaps like me, sometimes you're stuck in the torment of your own mind. And perhaps maybe you're ashamed of your life, ashamed of your past. Maybe you hold it together in front of people, but inside it's a mess. Well, tonight it's as if Jesus steps on the shore of your life and he's come to cast your tormentors out, to restore purpose to your life. So come to him, and he will set you free. Well, Jesus and his disciples, they get back in the boat, they sail back across the lake, and they arrive on the other side, and there they're met by a large crowd of people. And in this crowd is a woman who's been sick for 12 years. She suffered from chronic bleeding for 12 years, chronically ill. If that weren't bad enough, perhaps the worst part of all is that her illness has forced her into isolation. She's become an outcast in society. According to Jewish law, as long as she continued to be chronically ill, she remained chronically unclean. And because of her constant state of uncleanness, she was banned from entering the temple. She was shunned by people because if they touched her, they too would become unclean. She was alone. And she wanted more than anything to have her life back. She spent all her money on doctors, but instead of getting better, she just got worse and nothing worked. But then she heard of this man, Jesus. She heard that this man had power. And so she came. She heard that when he came to town, she thought maybe he could heal me. But she was ashamed of her condition, ashamed of her sickness. And she wanted to do it as discreetly as possible. And so as Jesus was walking, she came up behind him and she touched just the hem of her garment, of his garment. And as she touched the hem of his garment, she was instantly healed. 12 long years of suffering and isolation. After all her hope had long since died, she tried all the doctors, and in a moment, Jesus heals her. And she wanted to just sort of slip away into the crowd, but Jesus turns around and he says to her, or he says to the crowd, "Who touched me?" And of course, Jesus knew, but it was his invitation to her to come to him. And it says that she fell at his feet. And Jesus said to her, "Your faith has made you well. Now go in peace. You're free." He didn't just heal her. He did more than that. He welcomed her. And for an outcast living in isolation, that was the better part of the miracle. It's really hard for us, those of us who enjoy really good health, it's hard to imagine how debilitating chronic illness is and how it can lead to shame and lead to loneliness. And maybe some of you here suffer from chronic pain and you feel that loneliness. But Jesus invites you to come to him and he will fill you with peace and he will welcome you into his family. Or maybe it isn't chronic pain, but for some reason or another, you feel alone in this life. And Jesus comes to offer you friendship. And if you come to him, even if everyone else abandons you, just as Rut was saying, God never will. Jesus steps into the pain and isolation of our lives. And he sets us free. So we have this man tormented by powerful evil forces. We have this woman who is isolated in pain. And that brings us to our third hopeless situation. A desperate father comes running up to Jesus. His name is Jairus. He's one of the local religious leaders. And in total desperation, he comes. He runs to Jesus. He falls at his feet and he begs Jesus, I need your help. My daughter is dying. Please come and make her well. You can imagine his desperation growing over the last months. Jairus watched helplessly as his little girl got sick and got sicker and sicker and sicker. And it says that he tried all the doctors, just like the woman had. He's tried everything he could, but he couldn't save his little girl. She's about to die. And so he begged Jesus to come. And Jesus agrees to go, but as they're on their way, someone from Jairus' house comes to him. And he pulls Jairus aside and he says, "Listen, it's all over. She just died. You don't have to bother Jesus anymore." What they're saying is it's too late. The circumstances are beyond repair, beyond hope. There's no recovering from this. His greatest fear is now a reality. His beloved daughter is dead. And as this suffocating grief sinks in, Jesus acts as if he didn't even hear the news. And he just says to Jairus, he says, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Really? Just believe? I mean, there is no recovering from this. But they continue on. They went to Jairus' house. They went into the little girl's room. Jairus and his wife were there along with a few of the disciples. And he said, "Little girl, get up." And immediately she got up. She started to walk around. This is a situation where there seemed to be no recovering. And yet Jesus goes well beyond what Jairus imagined he could do. He raised her to life. And you can imagine the shock and the joy that Jairus and his wife had. In the darkest hours of their lives, Jesus shines his light and he filled them with joy. When you think your life is beyond hope and too far gone, even then, Jesus can do more, far more abundantly than what you can even imagine. Their situation, my situation, your situation, it's not beyond hope. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Three stories where all hope had died. They were stuck in the dungeon of despair, but Jesus came along and each one of them came to the point where they threw themselves down at the feet of Jesus and cried for mercy. Jesus was their only hope, their last hope, and he did more than they could imagine. He not only cast out the man's tormentors, but he gave his life purpose. He not only healed the woman of her chronic illness, but gave her friendship. He not only healed a girl, but he raised her to life. He did more than they imagined, and he truly set them free. These three stories they're meant to get us to think about two things. First, they should get us to think about our spiritual condition. All of mankind, including you and me, we were all born into a very miserable and hopeless and helpless situation. The Bible tells us that because of our sins, those things that are wrong, our relationship with God has been destroyed. And instead of enjoying the blessings of God, we have, by our sins, declared ourselves to be enemies with God. We're guilty of treason against the Most High, and we act as if he has no right to tell us what to do. And being enemies with God, our destiny is hell, everlasting torment and pain, the kind that goes well beyond our imagination. And so apart from God, we are dead men and women walking around just waiting for the day of our execution. And what's worse is that you can't do anything about it. You can't do enough good things to escape the judgment of God. You can't pay enough money to escape it. It comes for us all. This is the situation that Jesus steps into. God became man and he lived a life of love and compassion. And then he died on a cross. He rose again in victory. And through his great work, he not only forgives our sins and plucks us from the hells of fire, but he then brings us into this loving relationship with him. He brings us into the loving presence of God, where we have friendship with God and we enjoy his blessings for eternity. He not only takes away the curse of hell, but he promises you the glory of heaven, where you'll never be tormented or isolated, never sad, never in despair again. You get what you yearn for, perfect, eternal happiness like you cannot imagine. And what he calls you to do is to simply do what each of these three people did. You come to him. You throw yourself at his feet. And you simply ask him to save you. And if you trust in him, you have every blessing. You have every reason to rejoice. You have every promise of happiness. You come to Jesus, you fall at his feet, you trust in him, and he will do more than you imagine. So that's the first thing to think about. The second thing these stories get us to think about is our current circumstances. This life is described as a journey through the valley of the shadow of death. It's dark and very dark at times. And we feel it every day. We go through times of torment, times of anxiety, times of despair, depression. At times you're going to know pain and you're going to know loneliness. At times you're going to know dark grief and heartache. And of course, we would love to see Jesus come and sort of instantly make these things all better, make them all go away. And many of you have prayed for years and years, maybe decades, that your circumstances would change. But yet you continue to linger. And it's like we're waiting for this miracle that never seems to come. Why doesn't it come? Well, when Jesus saves you, he changes you. And he continues to change you, and he will change you. The truth is, he may call you to carry a burden for years, 12 years, 20 years, 50 years. But his promise remains the same. I will be with you through it all. And at just the right time, just like those three people in our stories, at just the right time, he will heal you and restore you and bring you to glory. These stories are not, these stories don't mean that the moment you trust in Jesus, all your pain and struggle will instantly be gone. But he promises that he will both bring you through it and eventually free you from it. He'll be your friend through it all. And so as you and I await that full and final relief, he reminds you, just as he said in another book of the Bible, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. He will give you the strength to walk through it, and he will set you free from it. I'm going to take you back to that story at the very beginning. Those two men, Christian and Hopeful, they were stuck in that dungeon of despair. But they escaped. And the way they escaped is that Christian eventually remembered that long ago someone gave him a key. And he was told that this key would unlock any prison door. It was called the key of promise. And he used that key, and sure enough, it opened the dungeon doors open wide, and they were set free from this dungeon of despair. What that gets us to think about is that when we feel stuck in our circumstances, the devil keeps beating on you, telling you you're not going to get out of here. There's no hope for you. You've messed up too much. Your past is too shameful, your circumstances beyond repair, you'll never get out of here. But Jesus came into this world. He silenced your tormentors. He opens up those iron gates that imprisoned you. He sets you free, and he gives you everlasting joy in God's presence forever. And if Jesus sets you free, you'll be free indeed. It's a promise. So he invites you to come to him, fall at his feet, and ask him to save you. Amen. Let's pray. God, our prayer tonight is very simple. We ask that you would set us free. Some of us here are stuck in the despair of our lives, and we need you to lift us out. Please grant us faith in Jesus. Let us fall at his feet. And please, Lord Jesus, set us free just as you promise. All our hope is in you. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.